and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 272, I think. My name's James Gilmore, and once again, we're live on Twitch. Thanks for joining us if you're watching us on the live stream. If you're listening via the podcast, don't worry, we'll try and keep it as audio-friendly as humanly possible. Joining me today is Mr. Peter Wellington.
Hello.
Hello there. And also returning, once again, by popular demand, so popular was the demand that it demand a second revisit, it's Harry Slater.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm in a box.
You're in a special box on a screen. Is this your first video podcast then? I forget.
It's the first time anyone other than close relations have seen my face.
Fantastic. Well, now you're being beamed to literally tens of people, possibly more. Just for the moment, you can keep your sort of, I suppose it would be infamy.
I think mystique might be a nicer way of putting it, James.
Oh, well, all right, fine, whatever. But yeah, this is the first time we've done this podcast in this arrangement. If you're watching us, you'll see there's a whole new skin, a whole new stream. We've rebranded the whole channel. This is kind of leading up to the big relaunch, because we've been kind of enjoying this Twitch thing, haven't we?
Yeah, it is. And now I like the look of our new little artwork stuff. Like, how nice is it? It's got that green in it. It's got what else has it got? It's got
that's
a play
the only
button
colour
in it.
Actually that's in it. Yeah. It's got black.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm desperately excited to know whether or not the chat like it. I like it. Now, Harry, you did have sunglasses on.
Yes, I did.
Is this because since the appearance on the podcast the other day, you've kind of become a world celebrity like both James and I have?
Yes, it was. I wear them just in case anyone comes into my office,
like Heat Magazine,
recognizes me.
Yeah.
There's a large window just to my right, and anyone could be looking through there.
You got to keep it
for reasons.
Keep it on the down low.
Yes, exactly.
Before you get papped or anything.
As low as possible is where I aim.
That's good, and that way no one's ever disappointed.
Yes.
Fantastic. Unless you happen to do Limbo. So, why are we all here? We're going to talk about games, obviously, because that is what we do. Quite a busy week for new releases. Tons of them, a couple of which of them are right good. And some slightly eye-rolling news to do with Disney and maybe even Star Wars. But, well, I suppose we better do some updates first. First on this week's update, Asphalt 8, which seems to be getting updated every other second. This time, instead of throwing just a bunch of new cars and, I don't know, fancier wing mirrors at you, they've given you the Great Wall of China update.
All of it?
I don't know. Apparently what you can do is actually, I thought it was going to be driving around the Great Wall, like, you know, skirting around the edge, the perimeter, right up to it. Apparently you're actually on top of it. Driving along the top, presumably all the way up and down, attempting to smash people off the sides and all of that. There are 6 tracks in total, which you can whiz your way up and down. And there are also a few extra cars too. You can get the McLaren P1, the Ferrari Testarossa, and a couple of other ones as well if you're interested. So that's sort of exciting if you're into that. It went free to play recently, didn't it? And I haven't played it since it went free to play. Actually, I can put a video up showing you what it looks like now. This is the Great Wall going on in the background. I haven't gone back to it since it was free to play, but when we played it originally, you could feel that it had been set up for free to play. Did you feel that, Harry?
Yeah, it was very much, because it was quite cheap to start off with. It was cheaper than the other Asphalts, where I believe it was only like ever sort of 69p,
I
believe. And then when it was sort of like, well, you're just going to make that for your credit.
And they totally did. There's been a run of games which start off premium and then go free to play and cause people to go and roll their eyebrows a little bit, especially if you're an early adopter. You tend to get a bit punished. Despite that whole thing, I liked it when it was premium. I thought Asphalt 8 was great and one of the best races that's been online for a while, which caught me by surprise because I'm not usually the biggest Game Loft fan. But, you know, credit where credit's due. I thought it was really good fun.
But that time in iOS racing, everything was really serious. Like, everything was trying to be Real Racing 3 and, like, be tinkering and don't drive into anything. it. And then Asphalt 8 came along and said, you've got some rockets on your car and you can fly for some reason. And it was just like, yay! It's like, that's what I want from games.
Exactly. That's why I've always loved Wipeout, because I'm not in it for realism and, like, carburetors and, like, gear ratios. I'm in it for, like, space rockets and smashing people off of impossible tracks, because that's what it's all about. So, yeah, get yourself up the wall of China pronto. Next up, FTL, which I haven't been able to stop playing or talking about recently, because it's so bloody lovely. They've added an update to it which allows you to transfer your game saves from your PC and your Mac to your iPad, which is kind of awesome, because I've also been playing both simultaneously. It's not an official thing. I think it's people, guys over at a site called The Stack Exchange. There's a Q&A forum which you can visit, and they will give you the procedure to how to do it. You'll need to download a special program, and it allows you to grab the saves from the PC and drag them onto your iPad so you can continue your progress. This is worth it, because even though it's a sort of roguelike game in which you start anew every time, there are persistent things, like you unlock new ships. And then when you go back to the beginning, you can start off with a new ship. And so if you want to be able to access all of those on your iPad without having to go through the whole bloody thing all over again, this is a way to do it. Joystick tested out the process, the site Joystick, and apparently it worked out okay. It will take about 10 minutes, but it might be quite a cool thing to do because FTL. Has anyone finally started playing this, or is it just me still?
It's just you, mate, because this is too hard for me.
It's not hard. Look, I'm the kind of guy who usually hates the top-down strategy management games because I think they're about as interesting as organising your sock drawer. But this is different. This is a whole other thing. It transcends the usual strategy dullness and just becomes an amazing experience, I feel. I'm surprised you're not on this, Peter, because you like this kind of strategy nonsense, don't you? You like Boom Beach, for crying out loud.
I like Boom Beach, yeah. I love that. Boom like Beach what? Is my jam. I've already got it, so I don't need FTL when they're the same thing.
I can remove this window from this podcast. You know that, Peter.
No.
All right, then. So, yeah, it's not technically an update, but it kind of is. So go and check that out if you are an FTL player and you want to get on iOS. Do it, do it, do it. The news. Right, so Disney Infinity's been out for a while, and I still don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Care to offer any other opinions? Peter, you've played this on the, what, 3DS or something?
I played the 3DS version, which is nothing like the actual version of the game. It's a collection of boring mini games. And I've also played the 360 version, and it's nothing like I want it to be.
Oh, okay. Harry, have you got your hands on the iOS version?
No, I think I don't know. I don't care. It's just it's little toys. I'm not bothered.
It's a kid's game, and everyone who's a grown-up who plays games is like, oh, Disney Infinity, I'm so excited about it. Oh, I can't wait to play with all my favourite Disney characters. They're kids' films. They're games for kids.
Yeah, but you like this. You're usually the biggest defender of this kind of stuff. You're Spyro the Bloody Dragon or whatever it was.
Now, wait a second. Spyro is Skylanders is a proper hobby.
There you go, Skylanders.
That's for grown-ups.
What?
How is it for grown-ups?
Yeah. Lost Islands, you have to be over 18 to buy purchases and stuff like that. So,
because of all the harsh language and sexual violence.
you would not believe what Spyro gets up to in
those
Lost
dragons,
Islands.
They have spiny tails and it can smart a little bit. Well, whether you're interested in Disney Infinity or not, clearly I'm being a bit lackluster, but obviously it's got a huge audience because it's all Disney and everyone loves that sort of thing. They're about to release Disney Infinity Marvel Super Heroes, which is being referred to as Disney Infinity 2.0. So rather than just another character pack, I think they're trying to treat it as a big expansion to the universe. There are a few images up online. You can go to Pocket Gamer and see the article right now. So we've got some toys of, like, obviously Iron Man and Thor's there and Captain America and all that. It's coming out this summer for iOS and PC tablets, it says. PC tablets? That's not a thing. iOS and tablets, it'll also be coming out on all the Xboxes and PS3s and all that stuff as well, but it'll give you a 3-figure starter pack, which I think is Thor, Iron Man and Black Widow by the look of it. Apparently what the differences are here is that each superhero has an upgradable skill tree which lets you customise him slightly, him or her, and will give you access to these structured play scenarios, they're calling them. Apparently Infinity 2.0 gives you structured play, like a tower defense minigame, or a procedurally generated dungeon crawler or something like that.
That's exciting. Do you know what? I showed this trailer to my partner.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, do you know what? The most exciting thing about that, the most impressive thing about that, is how much the voice actor who's pretending to be that little green one from Monsters, Inc. sounds like Billy Crystal.
Well, there's a recommendation and a half. I haven't played any iteration of this on any platform, I've got to be honest. It doesn't hold much of an interest, but...
I mean, it's cool for the kids and everything, like, and this collection aspect is something I totally dig, as the chat room has pointed out.
I thought but, so, like, too.
But, you know, it's... these are kids' games. They're sandbox games for kids, mm-hmm. aren't they, really? They're the Grand Theft Auto you can give to your child and walk away from instead of having to pay for daycare.
I thought that was Lego Town Land...
What was that Lego game?
What was that Lego game on the Wii U, which is like a city, Lego City or something?
Lego City Undercover.
Yeah, I thought that was GTA, but in a child-friendly form.
Yes, but I mean, in even more child-friendly form, I suppose.
If you do have an interest in this sort of thing, you'll be able to download it sometime this summer on iOS. Don't know what the launch price of the starter kit is going to be, but we'll probably find out a little bit more at E3 when we go rocketing off. Or rather, when Peter goes rocketing off. That's right, isn't it?
Maybe.
Apparently, you've been roped into this. Yeah. Well, you did get banned for that thing.
With that duck. Let's not talk about quackers.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Poor old quackers. Okay, moving on a little bit. Apparently, according to... Is it Lucasfilm? Because do Lucasfilm still exist within Disney?
No, it's just Disney now.
It's just Disney. All right, then. Yeah. Well, then, according to Disney... It was released this week, amid all the stuff about the new Star Wars film that's coming out, Episode 7, and they've released the cast list, and all the old crumblies are going to be in it, so you're going to have Han Solo looking all grumpy, as Harrison Ford does now, and Luke swinging around an arthritic lightsaber going, which will give Ben Burtt, the sound guy, a whole new bunch of interesting things to do. They've declared the entire canon of Star Wars fiction outside of the movies... irrelevant, non-canon, doesn't count anymore, which means that every single novel and book and, in our interest, game, has no longer got any influence and doesn't count towards the greater Star Wars mythos anymore.
It's a tragedy.
Well, I've obviously put up some video over here of Angry Birds Star Wars, and to be fair, like, not losing much canon-wise there, obviously, but I really like Knights of the Old Republic. The first game particularly, and I don't know, I didn't mind that existing in the greater universe. I thought that actually had a place within the lore, because it was like 1,000 years before the events of Empire and Jedi and New Hope.
What you could do, though, is just ignore what Disney said. It's not, they're not going to go back.
They sent me a letter, though.
Get your game.
They are.
You're not allowed to play that anymore.
Yeah, there has been quite a surprising amount of debate and fuss, and you're absolutely right, because it's like, does anyone actually care or pay attention?
You know what? I think we should trust Disney with this one, and just, you know, we should just accept the fact that George Lucas really does know what he's doing with the Star Wars canon.
He's not doing anything now. He's not doing anything. That's the whole point. He's been kicked off he's given up the project, and this is now Disney running the show.
Exactly.
I think maybe he sold the project for a ridiculous amount of
money. Exactly. He's given it to J.J. Abrams. So, like, he knows what he's doing, because he's gone, you, over there, give me a film with lots of lens flare in it, and a reason for one of the very few women that will be in it to get her top off. Yeah, and like, just put some lightsabers in it, and maybe Jar Jar again, because he did well.
But don't count anything else outside of it. I was flicking through forums just before this, and there's been a surprising amount of people getting really upset about this. So the only bit of non-Star Wars lore, you know, central lore that I like is the Knights of the Old Republic. So, and that's cool, and it's 1,000 years, and doesn't really affect anything anyway. The whole Bastila story, like, it doesn't really have a great impact on the movies, or so they could have just kept it canon, it doesn't make a difference. But the real tragedy, obviously, is that Star Wars Pinball's no longer canon.
Oh, God. Oh, hold on. So I didn't think about that.
I know, so all the continuity, that time that Luke Skywalker was smashed in the face with a steel ball, doesn't count anymore. It was all for nothing. I feel cheated, frankly. I robbed a vital Star Wars lore there. Moving on. Tiny Tower. That's well popular, isn't it? Still. Mm-hmm. Actually, the kid who works with me on AtSpy, one of the people aside from Peter who does, got really hooked into Disco Zoo, which was the more recent Tiny Tower thing. Did you play that one, Harry?
I did. I quite like Disco Zoo because every now and then the zoo would turn into a disco and all the animals would dance, and that made me happy. And that's good. It's good to be happy. So people should play it.
Rightfully so. I played it a bit and it was kind of. It was quite cutesy. I found it more entertaining than the Tiny Tower thing, just because I guess I have more interest in being a disco zoologist than like a realtor, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care about the property management aspect, but seeing the zebras dance was funny. And it's proved really popular. I think it's one of the more popular articles on Pocket Gamer. People keep going back, and there's obviously a huge audience who are still playing it. But previous to that, it was Tiny Tower that Nimblebit had created that everybody got hooked on. And they are relatively good at doing the freemium, free-to-play thing.
I think the wait timers that like they do have, like they're never particularly for things you want anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, you can't, like, in like, the planes ones that they do and the trains ones... You can, like, pay to speed up your trains and stuff, but you're probably not, because all you're going to do is set them off going again anyway, so you may as well just
wait. Yeah, I kind of agree that you don't feel like the timers are inhibiting you too much. You're not like, God, I want this now! You just pick it up and go tap, 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 and then you pick it up again at lunchtime and see what's happened. Yeah. And they work quite well in that regard. I mean, they're pretty much of a muchness, I would say. So the latest one, which was announced via Twitter, Ian Marsh, who is a Nimblebit guy, posted up some screenshots of Tiny Tower Vegas. It looks like it basically is just Tiny Tower reskinned and set in Vegas, so that it's like the normal game, only there's slot machines and that.
Yeah, I mean, this looks cool and everything, but do you think that free-to-play really needs to associate itself more with gambling?
Well, funnily enough, that's exactly why I thought it was perfect. Because I was like, well, there you go. There, it basically is already tied into that compulsive loop, slightly put your money in the slot. And the gambling, Vegas, this is a no-brainer. This is a match made in free-to-play heaven. Which may be a match made in other people's hell. I'm not sure. But, like, in terms of the gameplay, the way that free-to-play works and everything, surely this is ideal. This is perfect, no?
Yeah, I mean, I like Nimblebit's games generally, and I like the, you know, I like the Tiny Tower, the two Tiny Tower games that I've actually played, but I don't know, like, setting it in a casino?
Yeah.
Like, is that, like, adding some blackjack to it? Is that really enough for me to want to play it again? I'm not 100% sure.
Well, not for me personally. I'm not a gambly person, and so this doesn't hold much allure as far as I'm concerned, but, like, gambling games are mad popular. Like, the card games and all that stuff, they're already hugely popular on iOS. Loads of people play those card games, and mixing it with the Tiny Tower thing, I think, is a very smart move in terms of a, you know, concept and a business move. I'm not going to be playing it a great deal, I'll admit, but I bet you there are a bunch of people who are down for this.
Yeah.
So
addicts.
So dark, Harry. I was thinking, they're not addicts. We've had, don't use the term addict and free-to-play
you
together,
did,
because then
me.
You get
angry
free-to-play.
They're not addicts, they're whales.
And they're not addicts anyway. They're doing it deliberately and of their own volition and you have to say this stuff because the free-to-play defenders get really, really cross whenever you suggest that there's any kind of...
I am one of the free-to-play defenders, you know, this having a gambling spin to it, this having, like, even if it's just an aesthetic, which it looks like it is, like, it's just a really easy comparison to make, you know, like, I'm as big into free-to-play as the next person, you know, but, like, I don't know, it just feels a little bit like, okay, you guys were doing new things and now you're going back to the tower, like,
Oh, to be fair, Tiny Death Star was just a tower in Star Wars. It wasn't exactly a big, broad, new street.
They should have made it round, because the Death Star's like a ball.
That's true. Mm. But then, you know, it wouldn't fit on the iPhone screen properly, so they had to keep it.
What? Hold on. What is the Death Star round?
What?
Because stars are round. Otherwise, it would be the Death Tower.
I get the understanding of it for, like, from an aesthetic point of view. But surely, just like, it would just make riveting much harder. Like, getting the curved edge and stuff. Is it just something...
I think it was probably big enough that the curvature wouldn't have been too much of a problem while you were putting on the... And I think riveting is, you know, probably too simple a term. It was...
I doubt that was much riveting.
It wasn't just a bloke.
They had laser magic laser welder things, clearly. They weren't, like, going... 200,355.
This was in the old, but this was a long time ago in a galaxy far away. You know,
where
the galaxy
spaceships.
Far away was more advanced than ours. They had blue milk.
Right.
We don't have that.
Yeah, I have blue milk. I just leave it out for like 3 weeks. Easy.
I have blue milk, but I got an infection and...
Lovely. All right, then. Well, apparently the game looks pretty sort of well finished. You can see from the screens that have been circulating on one side. So we reckon it's going to be up relatively soon, or they wouldn't have kicked up a fuss about it at this point. But we will keep you informed. Follow Pocket Gamer and AppSpy, and we'll, you know, post up articles as soon as we know any more. Moving on again. This just made me laugh. Yeah, Game of Thrones, right? We all know that there's a Game of Thrones game coming from Telltale. The guys behind The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us, and they're going to do another episodic thing that ties in with the Game of Thrones universe, which sounds like it makes sense. That sounds great. So what obviously they need to do is ensure that it all fits within the canon, speaking of canons, of the universe. So they're doing some consulting on the project. And obviously the project's written by George R.R. Martin, so they've gone straight to his secretary.
It's his assistant, in fairness, not his secretary.
Is it? Oh, sorry, I misread. And
he's also a novelist in his own right.
Oh, is he?
Like, he's written books, and he's not just... It's not just like, George, can you come and... No, the intern will go. It'll be...
Edith, Telltale are on the phone. Oh, okay, what do they want? Could you help them make a game? But I don't know anything about your books, I just... Well, just do it, it's fine, I'm sitting on this big pile of money that... Okay...
Dragons Edith. And that. It's got dragons. So why is
Edith getting involved, like with the Telltale game?
Well, I suspect because George R.R. Martin is quite busy either A, writing more Game of Thrones, or B, just luxuriating in his facial hair, that he doesn't have time to do stupid things like video games. I mean, these are books, guys.
Yeah, this is high culture.
Legit culture, yeah.
Yeah. And they've got, like, dragons and stuff
That's
in
true.
Them.
And so... the occasional chair with spiky bits all over it. Yeah. Amazing. So the guy that we're referring to as Edith in all of this is actually called Corey Frank, or T.Y. Corey Frank, I think it is. He's a consultant for the Game of Thrones TV show, and he's also Martin's personal assistant, and he's acting as story consultant for the video game adaptation. I may have downplayed it slightly with Secretary, but it just made me laugh. They do consult with him on the show, obviously, but apparently even that's not as connected as you might think. Like, he saw the show. You know, there was a bit of an outcry a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you followed the show, but okay, all right, then. There was a scene that was controversial, and the way it was presented slightly differently from how it is in the book, apparently. I haven't read it. Martin was apparently as surprised as anyone. He doesn't see the shows, and he doesn't actually know that much. So I doubt he even has... He's on the phone to them every day, even for the show. So the video game, that's probably several rungs in his estimation below the show. So send in the other guy who read the book once.
Yeah, that'll be good. Are you referring to the bit where they all? It was quite a stilted moment. They all turned to the camera and like they had bottles of Pepsi in their hands. And they were like, "I love this. This
the cool,
is great."
Refreshing taste.
Just, yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? It was really odd.
And it was supposed to be going, oh, and now Harris, LucasAid, you were ill last week and trying to get hold of some, and now you said you'd get hold of it and you did.
That's just last week's bottle on my filth merch.
Oh man, you have got blue milk, haven't you? Out and about this week, we're going to start off with Botanicula, which I am very excited about because it's bloody great. Right, so how this works is, I'm not going to talk about it not right now because I want to talk about it later, but I'm just giving everyone the info that they need to know so they can go and get it post haste, especially if they haven't already played it on the PC. Point and click adventure from Amanita Design, same guys who did Machinarium. You can see it playing up in the side. Look at it. Look how beautiful it looks. Go and get it because it's great. £2.99 or $4.99. I will talk in greater detail about the differences in a bit. But, go on, get on that. Also, now, I need to talk to you about this, Harry, because you're probably closer to this than anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Republic has had a slightly troubled time with its chapters and its launches, hasn't it?
No, has it?
Yeah.
So Republic episode 2 is supposed to be out, and I think the file is downloaded onto my iPad. We've got a season pass subscription. I have downloaded the update that should add episode 2 onto my iPad, and I still can't play it. And Ed is unable to play it the same. It's there, but it just says locked.
Well, this sounds horribly confusing. If you're not familiar with the game at all, then you can see it playing in the corner. It's this kind of stealth-based, you know, kind of point-and-click adventure in which you have to guide a person around this complex and initially try to escape from a complex by infiltrating the security system. So you're peering through video cameras and you're talking to, like, people's phones and iPads and stuff, which is quite funny. And it is, like, I quite enjoyed it playing through the first chapter. It was sort of all right.
But it had its moments.
But they had this problem because it was one of those Kickstarter doodads, wasn't it? Or Indiegogo or something.
And, Kickstarter.
Yeah, and they had a problem delivering the episodes to people who'd backed it, didn't they? They had to make it free for a week or something.
No, they didn't make it. I think what happened was it said, if you back this, you get it on your iOS device. And before saying that, they had figured out no way in which they could deliver that amount of games to people's iPads. So they went through an awful lot because you're supposed to get the whole, there are like levels of backing where you could get the whole chunk of the game, sort of like all 5 episodes. So eventually, one of the things they did was they dropped the season pass price down to 69p and said that they would refund via PayPal anyone who bought it after backing the game.
Refund 69p? Oh, God.
69p to thousands upon thousands of people via... So it was all a bit of a debacle.
I thought we were past it as well. So like that was a nightmare, but they got it sorted. But now episode 2 doesn't appear to be working. So we're telling you that if you have been following the story up until now, the second chapter should be available and it is appearing in the App Store. Whether you can actually start to play it is another matter entirely. According to the blurb, it introduces a couple of new features. You get a new 3D map, a different type of guard, and some extra Omni abilities, plus a few enhancements to the first episode. So they've tweaked the first episode a little bit as well. All of which is great, provided you can actually play the thing. So you'll be able to download that right now if it is working. It should be $4.99 or £2.99 for the individual episode, unless you bought the season pass, in which case get it for free. If you want to buy the season pass, it's about £10 or $15, something like that. So that should be out now. Next up, I played this on the stream yesterday with you, Peter. Intake. It's called Intake Something, isn't it? Intake colon Be Aggressive.
Be Aggressive.
Aggressive.
Yeah, like that. I can kind of see why. Have you played this, Harry?
Sorry, well, yes. I was being aggressive. I played it briefly, yeah, because it's by the guys who did Splice, which is so
which you loved very much, isn't it? And gave it a platinum award.
I did. Yeah.
So what it is, you can see a brief trailer playing on the side, but if you want to see more of it, actually check out the stream we did yesterday, because I played it for about 15 minutes. It is a tap-em-up thing in which pills are descending from the top of the screen. They're all different colours and you have to tap them in order to eliminate them. However, there is a coloured bar at the bottom of the screen and you can only tap the like-coloured pills. So if your bar is orange, you can only tap orange pills. And then if purple pills start appearing, you need to tap the bar at the bottom to switch it to purple, and that will then allow you to tap the purple pills without dying. So it's got that polarity-shifting mechanic that you see in... My reference was Ikaruga, which is that, you know, bullet hell shoot 'em up, where you have to switch between blue bullets and red bullets in order to damage specific enemies. And if you don't do it the right way around, then they take less damage and you die horribly. So it's kind of like that. And basically, it's a very, very fast-paced twitch thingy in which you have to get into a real rhythm. Like, initially, I've had a couple of goes and just, like, died immediately, and it was pathetic. But then you get into a bit of a rhythm. Firstly, did you actually enjoy it? Do you think it's...
It's like the polar opposite of what Splice is, which is quite nice to see, you know, someone going sort of so far away from what they've done before. But I really enjoyed it. It's so frantic. From the second it starts, you're just like, oh, God. I'm dead.
I was trying to talk over the top of it and sort of failing. You can't do it at the same time.
But yeah, once you sort of you get into that zone and sort of realise what you're supposed to be doing, and it does click quite well.
I love how many visual references and styles it's got. It's it's not only is it about sort of drug culture and dubstep and all that sort of thing, but it's also meant to be an arcade game, even though it's not. And it's got a sort of like 80s neon style to it as well. And it just, it's got so many of these different sort of references, and it's pulling from so many different areas. It feels like really unique, like a very unique kind of a release.
It's super polished as well. I mean, visually speaking, it's very, very polished looking. And the way the transitions occur when you end the level, all of the kind of menus that are popping up, it's very, very, very slick. And I say 15 minutes I only played, but I did enjoy it. It was kind of interesting. That's out right now, £1.99 or $2.99. Intake, be aggressive. Fist shaky. All right, let's do this, because this is fun. We had some fun with this. Bridge Constructor Medieval. So if you played the original Bridge Constructor, you know what it's about. Or if you haven't played it and you just saw that gif that floated around the internet of like a bridge being built and a truck going along and then it breaking and then like somersaulting and everything exploding, then you might have some familiarity with the concept. It is a bridge building sim in which you have to utilize different building materials, so the planks that you walk on, the little support beams, bits of stone and block and whatever, and then construct your very own lovely little bridge constructions and then send a party of people across it and hope that they make it intact and don't just all collapse and die. Or maybe you do want them to collapse and die, because it's quite funny. Yes, Harry's shaking his head in agreement. This time, the twist is that it is ye olde bridges. So instead of trucks and that going across like a Golden Gate Bridge structure, you have got horses and carriages going over largely wooden and stone structures. So that's sort of the difference. There's a bit of a tweak in so much as there's now a sort of story, which is played out in text over the top in between levels. So as well as just completing the bridge, making sure everyone gets across, A, you have to try and come in under budget, which is the funnest part of any game, I think you'll agree, managing the finances.
Yeah. I love finances.
Get my own Excel spreadsheet going on, it's very exciting. So you have to do that. The other thing you have to do is, after a while, another, like, force, another army comes in and starts trying to attack you and your bridges. So suddenly they start getting bombarded with like big rocks and stones and boulders and things. So you have to start building defences onto the top of your bridge to ensure the people walking across it don't get smushed by a bloody great rock. So there are, you know, some tweaks, but essentially this is the same thing, it's fair to say. I mean, did either of you play the original one at all?
I reviewed them both.
Oh, right. Okay, well, then you should speak more. Like, in terms of the differences, is it enough of a change, or is it just a bit of a reskin, you think?
It is enough of a change. I think my review is, I believe, going to go up soon. It's excellent. Finished. It's languishing in the back end, waiting to be poked and prodded into shape. But no, I think you get the stuff. You have to put roofs on your... I'm doing hand gestures to show roofs.
Please do.
You have to put roofs on your bridge to stop rocks from crushing people who are underneath.
You're really getting into this video broadcasting.
I know.
Aren't
I am so good at this. But later on as well, you're like adding extras because like you get foot troops and stuff coming to get you, and you have to build traps on your bridge and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got that sort of, you know, it starts off quite similar, obviously, with horses instead of trucks. Mm-hmm. But then sort of as you go on, it changes and it adds extra bits, and it's not going to, anyone who doesn't like building bridges will not like it. But if you the original, then there's sort of enough in it to pull you back in for ye olde.
I'll tell you what, though, if you don't like building bridges and you buy a game called Bridge Constructor,
I think you
deserve everything you're getting.
It's a fair point. And I think Alex, who reviewed it for AppSpy, he agrees, said pretty much the same thing, that like it's still fun. It's not too different, but different enough that if you like the first one, you'll enjoy this. So yeah. You can read the reviews on both Pocket Gamer and AppSpy. See the video review that's playing at the side. It's £1.49 or $1.99, which is a discounted rate. So if you buy it a little later, it'll probably bump up about 50p or a buck or something. So if you know you want it, grab it now, we would advise. That's Bridge Constructor Medieval. Next up, let's talk Talisman. I haven't played this, but didn't you preview this, Peter? Like way back? No,
I didn't. No, I didn't. I think we might have talked about this on the podcast at some point. I did actually go and play a game of actual Talisman at some point with some pals. And it is that, essentially.
Yes, this is a Talisman Digital Edition, which is the iPad-only version of the Games Workshop board game, which you may remember from way back when. Now, like, they did have a version of this up, which was called Talisman Prologue. They released it, so it was kind of the single-player version of the game, without any opportunity for you to do any multiplayer stuff whatsoever. And that's been out for a while, like since last year, and everyone's been waiting for the multiplayer bit to kick in. This is what it is, the full edition. So you get the entire revised 4th edition rules of the game. You get pass and play, so you can play it with a bunch of you gathered around the board and, you know, all play the same thing. Or you can play online with other people if you want to do that. And you get a whole bunch of different modes, including, like, you can use house rules and also play a mode called Bloodbath, which lets you batter your friends to death for larks. If you haven't played the game at all ever, you choose a character at the beginning, and then you go around the circumference of the board, don't you, going ever closer to the centre, battling random encounters along the way. It was a card-based game and with dice and all that sort of stuff. But it was quite a good one. It was quite a beloved one.
Very.
And I have to say, I haven't played the digital version of this. I think we quite liked the prologue version, despite...
It's all right.
Was it you who did it again?
Obviously.
Match, of course.
It got a 7, I believe. But it was sort of a borderline 6.
What were your caveats? What were your concerns?
It's really boring when you're playing on your own.
Oh, right,
just,
okay.
There's no... Because in Talisman, the actual board game, when you're fighting something, your opponents are rolling the dice. So, like, you pass the dice on to the next person and they become the bad guy for your turn and stuff.
Right.
And there's, like... you can have the same sort of goal, so you're all trying to kill something or you're trying to do something, and it's, you know, I think it lost a lot of that just by being single player, because it was sort of
okay
when you're just playing one character trying to get to one single space and you have to roll a dice to get there and you keep wandering past it. You're not a big brave adventurer, you're just a moron who can't read a map.
And hasn't got any mates to come with. There's a 40k version of this game as well.
Relic. It's so good.
So good. Did you ever play, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but did you ever play the 40k update of Talisman, as in the actual expansion?
No.
There's apparently an expansion where, because with Talisman you get this big square board where that you have to sort of rock around, and they released these different expansions, and you would come off, you'd be able to sort of go off into different areas. There'd be like sort of different areas and lands and stuff like that, and one of them was you go off into space. You could be like it was amazing. Like,
I'm up for that.
It was really like, but you'd be like this little sort of elven like warlord or whatever it is, and then you'd be like on the Eldar planet of, I don't know, whatever it's called.
Eldar.
And the is there an Eldar planet called Eldar?
No, they don't have planets. They have craft worlds.
Okay. Now there's three games where X Games Workshop geeks.
I know. I just painted the Tyranids. That's all I did, because they look good.
Yeah, we know. Every time. I just painted the Tyranids. That's all I did. I'm so cool.
It's my secret shame. If I tilt this camera just round, you'll see the entire horde I've got on the wall. I'm just concealing.
Look at my card effects.
Out of shot. Yeah. You love it. Anyway, board game geeks. Bloody hell. Surrounded by geeks. Right, so, Talisman, the full game, to give it its full title, it's Talisman Digital Edition, including multiplayer, which may address some of the concerns that you have with it, Harry. We shall see. We'll have to wait on the reviews, which will be up soon. It's £3.99 or $5.99. So a little bit more pricey, but obviously they tend to be with these full game, board game things. So there you go. Get on that if you're interested. Also coming out, or has just come out, Super Frog. Super Frog. Now, I am an Amiga guy, so I remember Super Frog very, very well. It appeared in 1993 originally, and it was all right. Like, even at the time, I wasn't super excited, even as an Amiga guy and stuff. It looked good, it looked nice, and I really loved Team 17 stuff, don't get me wrong. But I wasn't, like, jumping up and down about this one. Now, Peter, you've just done a hands-on video of this for Absolai, which is going to be going up momentarily.
Okay.
What did you think?
I think that if you like the original Super Frog, then you will really probably quite like this one, because it is basically that. However, if you thought, Super Frog was all right, or you've never heard of it, then you might play it and think, you know what? Like, games are better now. like the platforming just feels a little bit stiff. It's quite fast. It's more comparable to something like a Sonic the Hedgehog, so he does actually run fairly quickly.
Yeah, he does belt around.
But unfortunately, some of the enemies are quite small, so you just end up running into them. Yeah, it's not brilliant. It's,
what about the controls? Are we talking just classic taps, so left and right, or slidey ones?
It's these touchscreen controls for platformers, which, as we always talk about, are very, you know, can be very good, and they have been mastered by several companies.
Yeah.
These take a little bit of getting used to. So the speed probably doesn't help. You can get used to it though. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's just not fantastic. This is definitely one of those games where if you remember it fondly, you will probably enjoy it, and you'll probably enjoy it on the level of, oh, I remember how good this was, and, you know, literally how good this was. But otherwise, it's probably a leave it kind of a job.
Okay.
I would say.
So one for the fans, but maybe not
other. Yeah,
fair enough.
For the fans.
Fair enough. Well, it's called Super Frog HD. It's out on iOS right now, and it's going to cost you £1.49 or $1.99 if you're into it. The final thing I mentioned, I don't actually have a video for this, so I'm just gonna pause at this point so we don't confuse the bejesus out of everybody. Actually, I already have confused them just by saying that. Screw it. Metal Slug.
Oh, God.
Right, so everyone, you know that Metal Slug Tower Defense free-to-play game you were all after?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I quite like it.
Do you? I'm only mocking because I haven't played it yet. Yeah, this came sort of out of nowhere. So the guys who have been looking after the Metal Slug franchise, i.e. bringing them onto iOS, have been SNK Playmore. They've been bringing all the games, 1, 2, X, all the other ones. They've done their own one. Their own original one. It is an original thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
And it's called Metal Slug Defense, and it is a tower defense game set within the Metal Slug universe. Free to play, out right now on the App Store and on Google Play as well. Harry, what's it like then?
It's all right. It's a tower defense game set in the Metal Slug universe.
Yeah, that rich universe.
Well, to be honest, like, it looks like a Metal Slug game. It's got the same.
Yeah,
pictures.
Yeah. that's because they haven't made any new art in 10 years. Go on,
20 years. But it's quite good. Like, as tower defense games go, it's got some interesting twists in it. You've got like special moves that some of your characters can do, and there's a bit of deck building in it as well as you get further into it by the looks of things. So it's not revolutionary, and it's not as good as Metal Slug, but it's all right if you like that.
Fair enough. It's an interesting crossover, I suppose. And I think, like you said in the story, that some people might find the free-to-play elements a bit ugh, but then lots of people do. But it certainly looks great, because it's difficult not to love that Metal Slug universe art style,
fine.
Doesn't it? It looks kind of great, doesn't it?
Fine. This is all fine, but we're dancing around this subject, right? This is not a side-scrolling shooter with fantastic animation, and the people who want a Metal Slug game, hi, a
Hello
new
there.
One, that's what they want. And the people who don't care about Metal Slug, why would they download this?
Is there no overlap in your Venn diagram? Is there no little area in which these two people, the people who like Metal Slug and the people who like free-to-play games, is there no join?
The Metal Slug franchise died for the best part of a decade because none of the games came out because SNK went down the toilet. So, like, there was this huge period where nobody was playing it. Like, people were growing up and not playing those games. I had to kind of actively go and seek these games out myself.
Yeah,
it was tough. Like now they come back and they're like, oh, you know what the mass market wants? They definitely want a Metal Slug tower defense game. No, it's either Metal Slug fans want a Metal Slug game or people want a tower defense game. And you know what? SNK, go and make a new tower defense game. That's fine. But like, don't like sully the Metal Slug brand with it.
Well, Harry says it's all right, Peter. Not to stoke the fire of aggression, but, you know, he also did say something about your mum.
What?
He called her a Metal Slug.
A Metal Slug?
No, well, I said she was a great tower defence game.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, no, that's actually what my mother is famous for. This is so bad, because, like, when the Devil May Cry reboot came along, right, I was the first person to be like, oh, shut up, you whining old, like, whatevers. Like, and I was just like, try something new, try and do something new. But this is Metal Slug! This is mine! This is mine now!
This is hallowed ground, is it?
This is genuinely hallowed ground. It's like taking... I was going to say Mario, but he's done everything. But it's like taking...
he is a filthy whore.
Oh, Mario.
Put it around. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, taking Pac-Man and putting him in a Puzzle and Adventures, Puzzle and Dragons clone.
I know, right? Imagine such a thing. That will never turn up on the podcast in a bit. Alright, well, mixed opinions about this. You can get it right now for free if you really want to. That's a thing. So, yeah, do a thing. Alright, brilliant.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
I can hear it.
You can hear it echoing like, through the mic now.
It's like muffled. It's like someone's having a Throne of Games party, but we're not being invited and we're sat inside being sad.
Well, you haven't. I'm in the chamber where lies the Throne of Games and you guys are sitting out in the porch. Getting rained on and getting horses like kicking dirt at you because Game of Thrones, I suppose. Right, yeah, so here we are again. This is a bit of the section, the show, where we talk about the games that we've been playing over the course of the week. Harry, you've been playing something weird, haven't you? Several somethings weird.
Yeah.
Go on then. We've put a video up. Explain what you're talking about.
No idea.
Oh, good.
I have been playing a selection of Butterscotch Minis, which is a delightful title for sort of a series of games that Butterscotch Shenanigans have been making. They've sort of been doing these 10-hour blasts, filming them on Twitch and making a sort of a game at the end of it. So they just go for 10 hours, film the madness, and the games that they end up with, they release. I think they're all free. But with like a few IAPs, that's difficult to say, IAPs to buy, like to get rid of adverts and stuff. And one came out this week on iOS. They've mainly, I think, come out on Android and they're sort of slowly seeping towards the App Store. Yeah. You know, disgusting description. The one that came out...
but accurate.
Yeah. The one that came out this week on iOS is called Freeway Mutant. I think.
That's the one you can see playing in the side of the screen there.
And it's like, it's really simple, endless runner. You're sort of a giant toad-headed monster who's wobbling up a freeway shooting other mutants and collecting stuff. And there's a bit of crafting in there as well. You like collect components to make your gun better. But there's other ones as well. There's been like four or five that they've made in this same way. I think they've stopped doing it now. They're aiming to do 10, I think, but they stopped because they weren't learning as much as they thought they were going to do, because basically the reason they're doing it, they're making a game called Crashlands, which is a huge open world crafty bit like that game that I've forgotten the name of.
Oh, that one.
Terraria?
No, it's like I Am
Minecraft
Hungry or something like that. It's on PS4.
Oh, Don't Starve.
That's the one. I went for the nice I Am Hungry. But yeah, they're making a game called Crashlands, and then sort of they were taking Mondays off to like try and just bash out games really quickly to learn something about you know, the process of making games that they could hopefully feed back into. But yeah, they're all worth checking out. They're all free, I think, on Google Play, and I think some of them are free on iOS, and they're all sort of coming there as well.
And but do they feel like complete games, or they feel like experiments?
There was Roid Rage, which was like Asteroids. I think they had to change the name of that to get it on the App Store. But it's you're shooting things and getting, I think there's pills involved. And then there was one that was like a Flappy Bird sort of clone, but you were a rocket. And you sort of had to control the angle and thrust of your flight. And it is one of the most frustrating things I've ever had to do in my entire life. And I've done some just really frustrating things. So that's
Peter.
Oh, well, too. He just keeps coming around.
Hey, listen.
Don't pout, sweetheart.
No. I'm sorry, but if he's gonna leave cakes outside, then I'm gonna come
around.
They're
not for you. They're not even cakes. They're just bird feed, Peter. Just stop it.
I just want it from.
You're a greedy monkey, is what you are. All right, then. So the one you can check out right now is Freeway Mutant. Runner shooter thing, and you say it's free
yes.
to download on everything. That's lovely. That's how we like it. All right, then. Just to change things up, Peter, we're going to go to you next, and you're going to talk about a game that could never possibly exist, right?
Yeah, Pac-Man Monsters could never possibly exist in a world that was good and right,
and yet
it does. It's a Puzzle and Dragons clone, essentially, which is fine. I guess you could do that. And if you haven't played Puzzle and Dragons or Pac-Man Monsters yet, then you are in for a treat. If you get Puzzle and Dragons, because that's quite good. You've got basically a top screen and a bottom screen. It would work really well on DS. The bottom screen of it is lots of different icons, and they all have different color affiliations. And you touch and drag a line with Pac-Man to meet all of those colours together, and yep. And like you have a certain number of moves, number of spaces that you can move,
mm-hmm.
and your team of Pac-Man monsters, I guess, is facing other monsters.
You can see some now on the screen there, some yeah, big nasty looking bugger.
You both have like health levels, and you take turns attacking one another, and you do it through matching all of these things.
Okay,
and it's like.
So what I'm trying to get here, right, is obviously it is a puzzle and Dragon's clone. That's fair enough. What's the Pac-Man element? Is it just that instead of the matched things just disappearing, so, he munches through the place where you drag? Is
yes,
that
the, exactly. Is that if, it? If you're organised enough to have be watching this live on Twitch with us, then you can see on the video, and indeed on the video on AppSpy.com that I did for the preview.
Oh, this is you playing right now.
Yeah, like you can see that the incredible bit of franchise blurring that's going on is that you're moving Pac-Man across the screen to munch these little power pellets or whatever they're called now, and that's literally it. You're just matching these things up. The whole idea is that Pac-Man is matching these like it doesn't make any sense to use the Pac-Man brand whatsoever in this capacity. Now Pac-Land, right, which was back in like the late, like in the mid 80s, which was like a 2D platformer starring Pac-Man.
Right.
You thought to yourself, right, this is a bit weird that this strange little yellow disc now has friends and that he's got a whole town and that the ghosts are coming after him in cars. And how do I get to the, how do I jump over that swimming pool? I don't understand. Like all of those sequences and stuff like that, they all kind of make sense because you think, well, he's just a little blob. Maybe he could be a platforming star. Why not? Why not do
doesn't
that?
Doesn't have legs.
But yeah, you just add legs. But like, this is an this is a pack RPG.
Yeah, like with match three pack RPG.
With match three, and it just feels like Namco doesn't have the first clue as to what it's doing with the Pac-Man brand at the moment. Like, there's a 3DS Pac-Man game that I had the misfortune of reviewing a few days ago mm-hmm. as well, and it feels like for a while there was Pac-Man Championship Edition, and everyone was like, whoa, you guys, oh, keep making these are awesome, because it felt like a proper sequel to the Pac-Man arcade game, which is a top-down maze chase game, yeah, yeah. Right? Like, it felt like a really good evolution of that. This just feels like they went, right, some companies come to us with this Puzzle and Dragons clone. What brand can we just slap on top of it that sort of vaguely makes some sort of sense and has some sort of cachet with human beings still? Like,
a bit.
Oh, can we...
There's a grid involved.
Can we get the Pac-Man license? Like, Namco could have put literally any brand on this and it would have had the exact same weighting and legitimacy to it. This could have... You could have been tapping and drawing a line and Jin Kazama from Tekken could have just punched his way through the lines. Or, like, I don't know, a car could have driven across it and it would have gone Ridge Racer. Or, like, any number... Like, any number of different things, different brands that Namco has access to would have been about as authentic as this is. And, like, look at the top screen, right? Some of the character designs. This doesn't... It doesn't even look like Pac-Man. It doesn't even have that sort of neon 8-bit or pre-8-bit visual quality.
It looks all parchment scrolly and sort of... It looks like...
Parchment scroll. That's obviously what we associate with the Pac-Man brand. Like,
so I'm to take it, then, that you're not a fan.
It's just Puzzle and Dragons. Get Puzzle and Dragons. Like,
all right. Actually, I won't because I'm not a big fan of it. But yeah, all right. That's a fairly impassioned response. And I guess be wary, people. I saw you playing it, actually. And yeah, it just is Puzzle and Dragons.
It's Bobbins.
So Bobbins, there you go. Nonsense to that then. But if you did want to get it, what's the full title? Pac-Man and Dragons?
Pac-Man and Monsters.
Pac-Man Monsters, I think it's called. But it's free to play. You can find it now. But yeah, Puzzle and Dragons if you really must. All right, then. Allow me to lighten the tone with something lovely. Oh, look at that. Look, you can see it on the screen now. Ah, oh, right. So, Botanicula, you guys. Amanita Design, I'm a big fan of these developers. A bunch of Czech people who do slightly surreal, ever so quirkly, and rather beautiful games. Usually point-and-click adventures. The one that introduced me to them was Machinarium, but prior to that they had done a couple of others, Santa Grost or Santa Frost or something like that.
Samaros.
Samaros, that's the one. Where they're quite weird, they're quite quirky, have a very unique visual style, and sort of just rather lovely, really. This game followed on from Machinarium. So in Machinarium you are a little robot, one character on his own, going around trying to find his girlfriend and rescue her from a big tower in this slightly steampunky, rusted, corroded world. The story was all told visually. There were little pop-ups to replace actual text in the speech bubbles, just little images, icons. It was really nicely done. It was quite tough in places, but sort of lovely. Botanicula is a far more bright, vibrant, vivid, colourful affair, as you'll be able to see. Mark's just playing through the very beginning of it in this video. I'm going to skip ahead just so you can see some extra stuff with some characters. Here you go. You are cast as five individual beasties who all live on this tree. The tree's being invaded by this black sort of ball-like substance thing which is going around and whipping away leaves and stealing stuff and kind of killing the tree, and you have to try and get off the tree in order to survive. That seems to be what it is at this point. Rather than you just being a single character trying to mash items together in that classic point-and-click way, you encounter problems, and then you have to choose which of your five beasties you want to use to solve it. So they all have different properties. You've got this twiggy stick guy who has the ability to extend one of his branches to reach objects that are, you know, sort of placed far, far away. You've got one guy who's basically like a little feathered insect, and he can fly. So he can fly off of the screen and go and chase other items around if they're zooming around all over the place. You've got one guy who's like a mushroom, and he can light up areas if they're dark and show you things you couldn't otherwise see. So they all have their own unique traits, and the idea is you're supposed to choose which one you need to use for every single situation that crops up. The world itself is one of those ones that really rewards you for exploring. That's what I like in these games, is that you feel like by going around, rather than just trying to tap everything on screen to see what works, some stuff would be plot essential, so you'll tap on an item and then a creature will move and, you know, a key will appear, for example, something like that, so you needed to do it. Other items, you'll just tap on creatures and they'll just kind of look at you funny, or they'll kind of start scooching slowly up the branch, or just like go away and hide. It was not serving a plot purpose, it wasn't a puzzle, but it's alive and it's happening around you, and it encourages you to sort of try and interact with everything just to see what happens and what they do. Some of it will be vital, some of it won't, but you'll always be rewarded for pressing something, and I really like that. That's a kind of nice touch.
James, it sounds like you've actually just had you've had a fever dream and remembered something. This doesn't sound like a game, it sounds like...
video evidence to my stage left. So, no, clearly this game exists and is a thing. It's been out on PC for about 2 years now, actually. And it's only just arrived on iOS. They get it over here eventually, but it takes them a little while. It's iPad only, as you can see by the screen ratio. Picking it up again, I played it on the PC, and picking it up again last night on the stream, oh, I really enjoyed it. It's just bloody lovely. It's so charming, and every time you touch something or interact with something, something cool happens, and a little creature that you've never seen before flies out in your face, starts buzzing around, and everything goes psychedelic, and they swirl into a new world, and it's constantly full of like visual excitement. I'd say it's easier than Machinarium. Because Machinarium, it's much more trying to find disparate items and gluing them together in that classic sort of point-and-click way. This does have that element. You are still discovering items and finding them and smushing them together a little bit, but there is this added element of you're mainly trying to work out which character you want to use for each task. And so that's where the problems are in utilizing your little squad and making the most of each of their individual talents. So it's a different kind of problem solving, which is nice because it distinguishes it from Machinarium, and also the visuals distinguish it massively because it's all bright colors. But you can see it looks gorgeous, this sort of out of focus, very out of focus background with the shallow focus sharp front end, and you're just going all the way over this leaf, and you'll find a whole bunch of mad monsters, that most of which will probably make you smile, because they certainly did me. It's out right now on iPad. I think it's £2.99, $4.99, I'm going to say. I should probably double check that. But if you do have an iPad and have any interest in point-and-click adventures, then seriously give it a look. We played through it on the stream last night, so you can watch us doing that. There's also a Let's Play video, which is streaming now on the side of the screen, up on Pocket Gamer. So you can see what it looks like and have Mark talk you through it as he's playing, if you're unsure. But I really would suggest giving it a look. It's rather glorious. Which brings us once again to the end of the podcast. Thank you for all for joining us. If you've been watching us on Twitch live, thanks ever so much. And if you've been listening to us, thanks as always. The audience keeps growing a lot recently. So if you're new to it, hello, welcome. We're all fun and happy to have you.
I'm not.
Harry's not.
No, Harry's not. Harry's not. Do you know, every single time that somebody hits follow,
yes,
or gives us a review and rating on iTunes,
uh-huh,
a puppy is born.
A puppy is born.
And every time that you think to yourself, you hear me say, oh, you should follow us, or maybe give us a subscribe or a review or something, and you don't do it, and you think, oh, that would take too long, one of the puppies dies.
Oh. Well, then I suppose, so, provided you keep a sort of 50-50 ratio of people coming in, going out,
yeah,
then you maintain the puppy population.
Yeah.
We don't want to, like, a puppy overload.
No, you don't.
Because,
but
those puppies have to go somewhere.
That's true.
You're being irresponsible, Peter Willington.
Listen, I like puppies, all right? This is what I think that's what I'm trying to say.
That is basically. We're the Pocket Gamer Podcast. We like puppies. Thanks for watching and listening, and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.